We're in Romans chapter number 10 to begin with tonight. And let's look at a few verses. Verses 13 to 17. Now, they're not in your notes. It's just a little thought to begin with. Now, don't worry, I'll let you know when the blanks come up to fill them in, when it's time. Let's start in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse number 13. A familiar verse, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 14 asks a question, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" You have to believe in the Lord in order to call on him. Next it says, "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" You've got to hear about him before you can believe in him. "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Someone has to tell them who he is. Notice verse, why don't we just jump down to verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How ultimately will someone be saved? Well, they need to hear what the word of God has to say. And tonight we are going to look at questions and answers about the Bible, part two. We're going to continue to look at questions people ask about the Bible, answers that we can give. And this evening's question is very obvious, which is, how can we prove the Bible is the Word of God? Someone might ask you, how do you know the Bible is God's Word? Can you prove it? You know, what? How can we believe that this book isn't just written by men, but it is in fact the divinely inspired Word of God that God gave to men, written down exactly as God wanted us to have? Now, we looked at some basic questions last week, but tonight we are going to look at some more detailed answers to this question. How can we prove the Bible is the Word of God? Now, this is important. Why do we start with the Bible? Because if someone says they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe the Bible, then there's a big problem. Because how can they believe on him when faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God? They must believe something else. And if someone doesn't believe in the Bible, they don't believe in what the Word of God says, they cannot be saved. So it's good for us to look at some questions about the Bible. How do we know, and this is probably the most common question, that this is the Word of God? Well, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that your Word is complete and sufficient for all our needs, but also for every question that people ask in witnessing. Help us, Father, to grow and be more prepared to answer questions that people might ask. And help us to learn some things tonight that we can store away to be better witnesses in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask for your help. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, the first blank, answer number one, how can we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, fulfilled prophecy proves it. Fulfilled prophecy. So the first word is the word prophecy. If you miss any blanks, the answers are on the back page, last page at the bottom. Or if some get a little bit heavy with the spelling. Fulfilled prophecy proves it. Now, this is good for someone who's an atheist. And they say, look, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in the Bible, I'm an atheist. How do you know? Why do you believe that the Bible is God's word? Well, you can say to them, have you heard about the prophecies in the Bible? And Isaiah 41 is a great place to go to if someone wants to see in the Bible what it says about prophecies. Isaiah 41, 21 and 22. Here the Lord is challenging idols, dead idols of stone, and those who worship them to see if these idols can predict the future. And the Lord says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. And God is saying, look, if these idols can tell the future, they must be of God. And if those who worship these idols know the future, well, they must be worshipping the right God. But they don't. They cannot prophesy, they cannot foretell the future. And the point is, only God can predict the future. Amen. Only God knows the beginning from the end. And when it comes to any kind of religion or cult today, there is absolutely no evidence of fulfilled prophecy in any of them. If there is any prophecy, they're vague, they're generalized, or they have copied off the Bible and put them into their own writings. They've done that too, by the way. So they're not specific. What is unique about Bible prophecy? If you're talking to someone, you can tell them that God names the names of people, places, and events hundreds and even over 1,000 years before those events happened or those people were born. And every time God gives a prophecy, it is fulfilled exactly to the last detail. So you can prove the Bible's the Word of God because of fulfilled prophecies. The Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecies lists 1,817 specific prophecies in the Old Testament. Altogether, 1,239 in the Old Testament, 578 in the New Testament. And every single one of them have come to pass except the ones that are in the future. So you can tell with thousands of prophecies in the Bible, over 1,000 prophecies in the Bible, almost 2,000, if there was any error, you could prove the Bible's wrong. But God tells the future, and then it comes to pass exactly. So we can test the Bible. And the predictions are precise and detailed. The fulfillment is exact. So there's so many prophecies, church family. Where do we start? I've given you a little link there from Liberty Baptist Church in Sydney, an independent Baptist church. Pastor Keith Piper is the pastor. He's written a book called The Answers Book. It's all online. And 2.pdf is a PDF of Bible prophecies. Prophecies about the nation of Israel, prophecies about Christ. If you want a more detailed description and someone wants to sit down with you and they say, yeah, I'd like to know more, you can take a printout like that back with you. But if you're talking with someone at the door or if you're talking with someone briefly, because you're trying to lead them to Christ, I think it makes sense to talk about the prophecies about Christ in the old, fulfilled in the new. So here's a little list from three portions of Scripture in the Bible. So Psalm 22, Micah 5:2, and Isaiah 53. If you write those scriptures down in the back of your Bibles, and you're witnessing to someone, you could just go to Psalm 22 and you'll find some verses easily. And you could say, look how it says here that soldiers were gambling for his clothing, that people would gamble for his raiment, his clothing. Psalm 22. And then, you know, hundreds of years later, we find what took place at the cross. Eyewitnesses have recorded that they gambled over his clothing. So all these verses, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be rejected by his own people, that he would not resist arrest and death, and so forth. There are dozens of scriptures that were fulfilled in one 24-hour period, amazingly. Down to the last detail, hundreds, and I said some in the Old Testament, even over 1,000 years old, of scriptures, prophecies. So here's some easy ones to go to. Psalm 22, Micah 5:2, Isaiah 53. You know, no bones would be broken. He would be buried in a rich man's tomb, Isaiah 53. Amazing, amazing prophecies fulfilled. Now, we know, someone might ask you this, hang on a second. How do you know the Old Testament was written before Christ and they didn't just put that in there afterwards, after the fact? Yep. Well, good question. That's a good question. One of the reasons was, and I put them in the notes, one of the proofs is that the Old Testament books found in the caves of Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls, are dated to at least 100 or more years BC. At least 100 BC. And there's the book of Isaiah. There is it. There it is. There's the prophecies. They've written them. And by the way, the Greeks asked the Jews to give them a copy of the Old Testament scriptures before Christ, the Septuagint it's called. And before Christ came, the Greeks, because they were interested in every religion, they asked the Jews for the Old Testament, what do you believe in? So they even had a copy in Greek of the Old Testament. And you can prove very easily that, yes, the Old Testament was written before Christ, and the prophecies have been fulfilled. And I like to ask the question, you know, just to be natural with that person, you know, speaking about things they can relate to, you can ask them, hey, can you tell me what will happen to you in exact detail in 20 years' time? Do you know what will happen? And obviously, we don't. I said, no, absolutely not. Well, do you know exactly what will happen tomorrow in every detail? No, we don't even know. We can't tell the future, but who can? God does. And he has given us his word with over almost 2,000 prophecies, so we can easily test it and see if it's the word of God. No other religion, no other faith, no other cult has fulfillment of prophecy. Why? Because this is God's word. Would you like to know more? Can we sit down and talk and have a look through the Bible, show you some more if you haven't already shown them? But that's one answer, a big one. Wonderful proof of the Bible. Fulfilled prophecy proves it. Notice next, the Bible's accessibility proves it. Now, Brother Cloud's materials, his apologetics course titled Unshakable Faith, has been a wonderful resource that I'm using for these series, as well as the answers book. And I'm just giving you some easily digestible answers that you can give. The Bible's accessibility. That means people have access to the Bible. How do we know that this is God's word? Well, if there is only one God, wouldn't you think that God would want everyone to have access to his word? Look at Revelation 7:9 in your notes. Just an interesting thought. And you can show a person this verse in your Bibles and say, look at what it shows us in heaven, who will be there. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of, what does it say next? All nations. That means people from every country around the world. And kindreds. That specifically means tribes. Tribes of people. And all people and tongues, languages, nationalities stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. What's the point? Well, people from all around the world will be in heaven. All sorts of people that spoke different languages. All sorts of people that were from different cultures, nationalities, from around the world. How does that prove the Bible to be true? Well, the Bible is the most accessible spiritual book in the world. It's the most popular book in the world. The Bible. The Bible has been translated, and I put that in your notes, into almost every major language in the world, plus minor ones. 2,450 so far. And translation work is progressing into another 2,000 languages. Well, what's the point? People don't often realize that the Bible is accessible. And the Quran has been translated into 40 languages. The Hindu scriptures have been translated into 46 languages. And the Bible in over 2,450 languages. We know missionaries, don't we, that are translating them into specific Papua New Guinean dialects. Kamayan language. Unbelievable. And God's word still continues to be translated. So how do we know that the Bible is the word of God? Because it's accessible. Maybe not so much the atheist would be interested in that, but someone who just doubts the Bible. They're seeking God, but they don't know where to look. And you can say, God has given us his word. You know? It's easily accessible. When we went to Hungary with our family, we walked into a bookstore and there are some Bibles. There they are. You can buy them in a foreign country. It's not just Australians that have the word of God, amen? Sometimes that's how people think. Well, only the English Western world has the Bible. That's not true at all. It's been translated into over 2,000 languages. So just store that away when people ask you, how can you prove it's God's word? Because people have access to the Bible. It's accessible over every single other religion or cult. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses. Ridiculous. You know, before the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses came along, where were all the saved people before that? You know? It's ridiculous. They have their own little book. They have their own little cult. And what happened to all those who lived before then? and the Bible is from the Word of God, existed from the beginning and exists today. The Word of God. It's accessible. Just a little thought. Now, here's another answer. Someone asked, well, how can you prove the Bible is the Word of God? You will meet religious people, sometimes Catholics, who will go to the Catholic Church, but they won't believe in the Bible. I've met a number who say, I'm a Catholic, but to be honest, I don't really believe what the Bible says. You know, I'm just going to stick with my Catholic faith, what the priest tells me. Do you read your Bible? No, I don't, because to be honest, I don't really believe it. Now, faith cometh by hearing. If you're going to lead them to the Lord, you need to they need to believe in the Scriptures, don't they? If they don't believe it's the Word of God, then they're in trouble. Maybe another person who's seeking God, but they don't. They might say, look, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the Bible. You know, I believe, you know, He died for me, and yes, but, you know, the Bible is... Well, here's an answer. Jesus Christ's own words prove the Bible to be true. Jesus Christ's own words. Your word is... The word is the blank words. So, what does that mean? Jesus Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, believed the Bible was the Word of God. The Holy Scriptures is the Word of God. He believed in the absolute authority of the Old Testament. Some people say, well, I don't believe in the book of Jonah. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned Jonah. He mentioned the Old, didn't He? So when someone says, oh, I don't believe the Bible, I believe in Jesus, but, you know, that's just stories, really. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned Jonah. You know, he taught that the Old Testament is perfect, even down to the very letters. Notice what He said in Matthew chapter 5 there in your notes. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. The Lord was saying the Old Testament is perfect, down to the very letters. The jots and tittles, the little accent marks, even down to the last detail. And the Lord said in John 10:35, the Scripture cannot be broken. The Lord was saying the Scripture cannot be ignored. It is authoritative. It is a chain with no weak links. It's the authority. And the Lord quoted from every part of the Old Testament. You know, He believed in the creation account. Why? Because He spoke about Adam. The sin of Adam. He spoke about Eve. He spoke about Cain and Abel. He spoke about Noah and the flood. The Lord Jesus spoke about them, these events. He believed it to be the Word of God. So who are we to criticize the Bible if the Lord Jesus Christ said it's the Word of God? Jesus believed in the people and events in the Old Testament. Abraham, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife turning into salt. Jonah and the whale. So this is just an answer you can give when someone says, you know, I don't really believe everything in the Bible. I have trouble, you know, believing it. Well, Jesus Christ believed it. He Himself believed that the Bible is the Word of God. So whom would we trust? Would we trust internet bloggers over the Lord Jesus Christ? Would we trust skeptics over the Lord Jesus Christ? So perhaps that person is a religious person, but they just have no foundation for their faith because of their refusal to believe in the Word of God. So we need to bring them back to what will bring them to salvation. Faith in God's Word. It has to be the Word of God. It doesn't matter how much they want to believe in a Jesus, if they don't believe His words, they don't believe what He has said about salvation. And there, lastly, just a fourth point. How can we prove the Bible is God's Word? Because the Bible's message of eternal life proves it. The Bible's message of eternal life. Your blank is the word message. Now, 1 John 5:13, we should be able to quote it all together out loud tonight. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Amen. That's right. So, God says we can know. For sure. 100% sure. In this life, that we can have eternal life. And that is the Bible's offer of salvation. So someone might ask you, how can you prove it? Well, the Bible in fact tells us how we can have eternal life in this life and how we can know it for sure. They might say, well, what's so special about that? And you can tell them, well, you know, there are no other religions in the world that offer eternal life. None of them do. They might say they offer it, but then they tell you that you'll never know until you die. And when you die, would you agree that's too late? Yes. So Islam teaches that you need to surrender to Allah and obey His commands, and hopefully you've done that enough to get to paradise. And you'll only know when you die. Hinduism teaches that salvation is attained by practicing Dharma and working out your karma, working on yourself, you know, bettering yourself. Buddhism teaches salvation by reaching Nirvana through life works and meditation. Brother Cloud commented on this first-hand account that he saw in Kathmandu. He said, if you visit the Buddhist monastery in Buddha in Kathmandu, at any time of the day, you'll find Buddhists walking clockwise, fingering their prayer beads and twirling their prayer wheels. They do this because they're trying to work to earn their salvation. So every religion in the world teaches you, you have to work your way to heaven. You've got to do something to get to heaven. How do we know the Bible's the Word of God? Because the Bible teaches us that eternal life is a free gift that you can have right now and experience the reality of it. Wow. You see, every religion tells you just wait till you're dead and then you'll see. But what if you put your soul's eternity in the wrong place? Wouldn't you trust something that you can test right now? I like to say this. Say you're going to a used car lot to buy a car. And the salesman said to you, you like that car? Yep, I'd like that car. I want to know more about it. No, you got to buy it first. Only when you take it off the lot, you'll see how it runs. So you can't test it out, you can't try it out, you can't take it for a test drive or get RACQ to check it out. You've got to buy it, and then you'll see what you bought. Now, who in their right mind would ever do that? No one. It would be foolish, wouldn't it? Yes, it would be foolish. Well, then how much more foolish would it be to trust in a religion that teaches you that you've got to work to earn your salvation and you'll still never know until you die whether it was enough? But the Bible tells us that salvation is a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can experience salvation now. You can know for sure your sins are forgiven right now. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins in His holy blood. It was a great cost to Him, but it's free to us. And there's nothing that you and I can do to work our way to heaven. It's a free gift. He died because He loved us. Because there's nothing we could do to get to God, because we are sinners. And you can go ahead. But the point is, and it's a good one, that the Bible's offer of salvation proves it's God's Word. Proves it. Because it is a gift offered to us by God. Would you like to know more? So these are just some responses that you can give when people say, hey, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, that's a statement because they don't know what the Bible is and what the Bible says. They make that statement. And always follow up and say, hey, would you like to know more about prophecies in the Bible? Would you like to know more about the proofs of the Bible? Because the Bible proves itself to be true. You know, God has given us hard factual evidence to prove His Word is true. And the more someone hears these truths and you share verses with them, the more the blindfolds of unbelief will come off. So let me encourage you to store these little notes away and just continue to build up a resource of helps, things that you can answer questions with. If someone asks you a question and you come back to them, hopefully these little notes will help as we collect them up. We'll look at different questions to different different questions and answers throughout this series, but I hope that these answers might give you an answer when people ask a question. Can you prove the Bible is the Word of God? And the answer to that question is yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.